You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The concept of Geirus, commemorating the fact that Klal Yisrael, according to Chazal in the Gemara Increases in Daf Tes, and the Rambam records this in the 13th chapter, Hilchos Yisrabiya, on the page number 2 of these that's in front of you, where according to Chazal, the actual metamorphosis of Klal Yisrael into what we are today when it comes to our full-fledged Kedusha and all that we possess as the Am HaNivchar, as the Am Kadosh, our full Jewishness was first received and accomplished when we underwent an official Gir Kehalacha from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim up until Kabbalah Satorah. The Gemara Increases records it. The Gemara is then paskened by the Rambam in the 13th chapter of Surabiya, and the Rambam says very simply, "Bishlosh ledvarim nichnas yor labris," that the three things that Klal Yisrael did in order to undergo the covenant between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to become the Am HaNivchar, so the Rambam says they underwent the Bris Mila l'shem Geirus, they underwent the mitzvah of Tefillah, either in Mikvah or Mayim Chayim. At that time they basically had the live water coming from the waters of Miriam that was so numerous that Klal Yisrael were able to be tevil in them, l'shem the purposes of Tefillas Geirus. And there were karbanos brought by Klal Yisrael, karbanos brought l'kavod their conversion, as is recorded in the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim, and as brought down by Chazal in the Gemara and the Rambam over here. The Rambam points out, interesting, historically, when it comes to the Bris Mila already took place in Mitzrayim. And the reason it took place there is because there was another need of the Bris Mila besides Geirus, and that is Klal Yisrael had to partake of the Korban Pesach. And since when it comes to the Korban Pesach, it says Ko'ara lo yochel ba, so if that's the case, halacha l'masa, they had to do a mitzvah, Bris Mila, in Mitzrayim a couple of days before they partook of the Korban Pesach to take away their arelus, so they can consume the Korban Pesach on the first night of Pesach ever existed, and that is the night of the 15th of Nisan. And it says Moshe was Malosam, or the Moshe did it, or those Shevet Levi did it. But anyway, Benkach or Benkach, only Shevet Levi had adhered to the Bris Mila that was Metzuvah to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov during the entire sojourn of Egypt. The rest of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, were Mavatul their Bris Mila. And now, before they left, they had to rectify it. That's the B'damai Chayi we find in the Haggadah as one of the two bloods of Mesiris Nefesh. Klal Yisrael demonstrated as a schus for them to have the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim and all the halachas that apply to it and the promises made to them fulfilled. When it comes to Tefillah, the Rambam says on Halacha Gimel that this took place in the Midbar before Kabbalah Satara, Kidashem, Yom Humach, Kipsa, Simlosam. And when it came to the carbon of a ger, that was in Parshas Mishpatim towards the end, where it says the Nari B'nai Yisrael brought Korban Olos, which for the purposes was for that of the Gir Kahalacha. And the Rambam says is a summary statement on Halacha D'Alev V'chein L'Doros, Kishi Yir Tza'akim L'chones L'Bris, V'L'Stoif V'Tachas Kanfei Ashrina, V'Yikabal Lav Ol Torah, Tzarech Mila, Tfil Hatzahas HaKarban. And if it's in a kavish, only requires, quite obviously, tefillah v'karban. The pasuk that says this, which the Gemara quotes as well, is the pasuk that says, kochem kager, what you did to become gir kahalacha, ger have to do in the future, ma'atem b'milu tefillah hatzoras karban, av ger ledaros, milu tefillah hatzoras karban, b'zman hazeh, the karban eila, is not ma'akevis, because we can't bring it. But when the Beis Hamikdash will be built, the Rambam says at the end of Halacha Hey, those Gerim who didn't bring it when they underwent conversion will have to bring the carbon then. So this is the Halacha Rabbeisai of Gir Halacha as it relates to the ceremonies that are needed for the conversion to take place. Besides the actual ceremonies involved in conversion, there is another concept that is equally important, and that is what the Rambam brings down in the Yomar Mekamus Rabbeisai on page 4, and that is the concept of Rabbi Yisai of faith commitments that a ger has to make in order for the gir kalacha to be halachically accepted. A ger has to cop upon themselves all machus shemayim. The shemayis Hashem lakein Hashem echad. The kabbalas all machus shemayim. And the guy must recover upon himself the all of performing all the mitzvahs of the Torah, all the mitzvahs derabanan. The ger can't say, I'm going to recover all the mitzvahs except for a certain group of them. We already had a Gemara in Bechoros a couple of weeks ago where the Gemara mentioned this explicitly. If the ger wants to say, I'm going to recover everything except this rabbinical halacha, there's a shear in the Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And the Geris is Nacha, we had that in the Daf Yomi series, in Mesechtas Becharas. So you require full Kabbalah Samacha Shemaim and Kabbalah Samitzvahs. They gave the Ger an educational prelude, the Rama says in the 14th chapter of Hilchis Leisuri Bia, 14 and page 4 and 5, which is based upon the Gemara, also Mesechtas Yevamos, where they're taught an overview of the Torah, Miksas, Mrs. Kalas v'chamuros, as a way of giving them an entree to realize what they're getting themselves into and to realize the severity of how much it means to be an observant Jew when it comes to Chilul Shabbos and Kashrus and other things. So, quite obviously, the Gir Kahalacha has requirements, both rituals, ceremonies, which I mentioned before, Kabbalos, faith commitments, and one without the other is halachically insignificant. You can go through all the tefillahs b'mikvah and all the bris milahs you want and even bring a karban. But if I'm not makaba or machshmaim and all mitzvahs, it's worth zero. And vice versa. I can make all the faith commitments I make. But if I don't technically undergo the ceremonies of milah kahalacha l'shem geirus, and I don't go to mikvah, and when we had the base mikdash, I wouldn't bring a karban ger, all the faith commitments wouldn't make you a Jew. You have to have both of them working together. Now with that in mind, Rabbi Isai, I want to what? Yes, yes, 100%. That's why the Gemara says in Becharis, even if he excluded Edirabanan, that's a shear in Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and therefore there's no Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Now, I want you to go back to the first page of the Maamar Kamos, because what we're going to analyze today is perhaps one of the most perplexing texts you find in Tanakh. Ironically, Megillas Rus was picked by Chazal to be the Megillah that's read on the Yom Tov of Shuas because of the Geiris that Rus underwent to become the Geiris Tzedekah she was, to be worthy later on of marrying Boaz, who's the head of the Sanhedrin HaGogol. The irony is that, as we show you in the text of Megillas Rus, the first two Purakim, you do not find, ironically, the actual mentioning explicitly of her undergoing the ceremonials of going to, basically speaking, going to mikveh l'shem geiris. You don't have any mention of karbanos brought. When it comes to kabbalos or mitzvahs, at Omach HaShemayim, it doesn't say it explicitly in the text, like Ika Chasim and HaSefer. So the question that, the million dollar question everybody asks, when Machlon V'Kilyon married these Moabite girls, who happened to be granddaughters of the king of Moab, they were part of the aristocracy, part of the Malchus of Moab, rich young ladies having tremendous ichus. When these Noshim Moivas married Machlon V'Kilyon, did these women undergo a conversion prior to their marriage? And ironically, before I get to the Zohar, which I'm going to show you tonight, if you look in the Medrash Rabbah quoting Rav Meir, Rav Meir says, you show me in the Psukkim over here any mention of Geiris, of Rus, and Arpa. Doesn't mention anything. It just says, if you look in column C, which is the second column from the left, it says that when they got to the Sedei Moav, and after Elimelech passed away, Machlon and Kilyon, what did they do? Ultimately speaking, they went and they married Noshem Moaviot, Shemachas Arpa v'Shem Yashenis Rus, and they lived together for 10 years, and ultimately these two boys died, period. Based upon Pshuto Shemikra, Rav Meir, the famous Rav Meir, the Tana held, they married none Jewish women. They were not converted, which is a pella playim, thinking upon the yichus of who they were and where they came from and who Elimelech was and who even Naomi was. And nevertheless, he claims they married them without gerus. So quite obviously, that is a pella playim. I mean, so the obvious question is, so why in the world are we reading such a story on the Yom Tov Shavuos? So the answer to the question is because ultimately the Gemara is medayik in Psukim, which based upon Pshuto Shemikra you would not see it. The Gemara in Yavama says that later on, after the boys died, and Naomi pushed her daughter-in-laws to go back to Moab and to go back to their family life and go back to their gods and go back to their greatness as being Moabite princesses, where she says, Shovna benasa lamatilachna imi. I'm reading now specifically Pasigat Aleph. Ha'odli bana b'me'ai, ha'luchai noshim. I don't have any more sons to give you. You think I'm going to take you back to Eretz Yisrael now? As, and according to Ramea, non-Jewish women, I'm going to be able to find you a shidduch. I mean, it's an impossibility. And you're surely not going to wait for me to, quite obviously, have children again, and therefore wait for them to grow up to marry them. That ain't going to work. So she basically pushed and pushed and pushed. Finally, we find Arpa picked herself up, and she kissed her mother-in-law, and she left, and she went back to her people, to her God, etc., etc. She then turned to Ruth and told Ruth, why don't you do the same thing? Follow what your sister-in-law did. Same exact phenomenon for you as for her. And despite all the pressure that Naomi placed upon Ruth, Ruth was not willing to leave and forsake her mother-in-law. And what she said, if you look in Pasuk Tes Zayin, V'atomer Ruth al tifki bi, lozveich loshuv me'acharayich, ki lasher telchi elep, asher telini olin, amech ami, elokayich elokai, v'asher temusi omus, v'sham ekover, v'kol yaseh Hashem li, v'kol Yosef, ki amoves yafri b'ini uveinecha. So we hear Chazal in the Gemara Yevamos learns from these psukim. It's not mafurish, but say through Torah Shema Peh that what Naomi really did and what Ruth was doing was answering her questions. She asked now her daughter-in-law, according to Ramea's Mahalach, are you willing to accept upon yourselves to become a Giyaris, to accept Yiddishkeit? Because according to Ramea, she was not a Jewish up until this point in time. And all the things that Ruth is answering of here is, where you go, I go, what you're going to do, which means I'll be a Shomer Shabbos like you, and I'll be kashrus, and whatever halach is that you follow, whatever area it might be, I'm going to follow exactly what you do, I'm going to model myself after your religious observance. They looked upon Naomi as serving as basically the one who is questioning her and informing her of her responsibilities, as a bezdin was required to do. For any gear kahalacha, you need a bezdin of three. And unquestionably, that's another piece missing from the text. No matter whose pshat you're going to talk about tonight, whether it's Rav Meir who claims that at this time Naomi had the conversation and gave her an understanding what Yiddishkeit is all about, and at this point in time, Rus said, Ami Amech, your God is my God, that was Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, Kabbalah Samach Mitzvahs. But you still do not have mentioned explicitly in the verse that a Bezdin had to come along and give validity to it. You can't do it without a Bezdin. There's no mention of going to Mikvah. There's no mention of bringing a carbon to Shem Geiris. It's still missing from the text. But the Gemara in Yevamos, I will admit to you, uses these psukim I just mentioned as a demonstration of the faith commitments that Rus made that every Ger and Geiris have to make. Is at this juncture, her gear kahalacha began, and it seems it was consummated, even though the pasuk doesn't mention it, like Ika Chasim in the Sefer. By the time that Ruth returned with Naomi to Eretz Israel, to Beis Lechem Yehuda, she was a full-fledged giyares, having been misguided by a bezdin, whose existence is not mentioned anywhere in these psukim that we just read a couple of minutes ago. That's Rav Meir's Mahalach. And in fact, when you look at the Gemara in Masechtas Baba Basra, which has a whole sugya on this topic, One sheet is, the reason the Machon King in fact died was the Chil Hashem, that Chashuvei Bonim, from such a Chashuva aristocratic Teredik and Mishpacha, who are married to Shiksis, is not something that's a Kiddush Hashem, it's a Chil Hashem, and therefore to punish them for what they did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took their life. So that's one Mahalach the Gemara has over there in Baba Barasa explaining this specific phenomenon. But what's interesting, Rabbi Isai, if you turn out to the second page, which is going to be the major subject matter of tonight's shiur, when you go to the Zohar, Kabbalistic literature, you find a total different Mahalach in the interpretation of the story. And it's on the right-hand side page, that column, the first column that is the one of the most important parts of tonight's lecture. Listen very carefully as the Zohar Chadash records the dialogue concerning Rus, her marriage to Machlon, and when and where the gerus took place. So the Gemara, so the Zohar says on top of the page, Shor Rav Pagos Livrei, Shor Vyosi Yisucho, Rus Chavin Shinizgarim Neymalo Korer B'Shem Acher. They're assuming Rus V'Arpa with their Moabite names. So one of the things we do for Ger and Giyaris, one of the first things we do, once they convert, is we give them a Jewish name. So how in the world does she carry her name of a Moabite princess after she underwent Geiris? Now, the Zohar is taking it for granted that before Machlon and Kilion married Arpa and Rus, they underwent an official Gir Kahalacha. You'll see how this plays out in the text. So Amalei, so he answered him, Kach Shemati, the Shemach HaYolah, that in fact, as a Moabite person's, her name was not Rus. And when did she get Rus? Kishenisais LaMachlon, Karshma Rus, Umisham also, which means her Jewish name was Rus, given to her after she was Miskayeres, and she was going to marry Machlon. Kishenisais LaMachlon is Gaira, Beferish in the Zohar, that before she married Machlon, she underwent Geiris. V'lola achazman, this didn't happen in a later time frame. Amalo. But my question to you is the following question. What about the dialogue that Naomi had with her later on? I just mentioned the ksiv, liachakach, elokayach elokai, kasher talini tolin, v'habi hasras, osus Naomi, kitnina v'kulon kibla leha. So the obvious question is, why in the world did Naomi go through the whole process of the questions and the answers and the information in Kabbalah Slam Mitzvahs, Al Chamach Shemayim, that you're supposed to do before you become a Giyaris? She was already Giyaris for 10 years, according to the Zohar. Why now, after her husband dies, does Naomi seem to ask questions and do things that normally you do before a person becomes a Ger, not 10 years afterwards? What's going on over here? That seems to imply, as Rav Meir interpreted, that they were not Megayeres until after the death of the husbands. But according to the Zohar, he's asking, if you're claiming she was Maskayeres 10 years earlier before she married Machlon, so why are the questions being posed over here? So he answers, Chas v'shalom she'nasa Machlon v'nachris. It's incomprehensible to imagine that based upon the yichus of who Machlon was, who his mother was, and who Naomi is, she was mishpacha with Boaz, and who Elimelech was, mishpacha with Boaz, to believe that this aristocratic Teredika family would allow a child to undergo a marriage with a Moabite princess without undergoing Kir Kalacha, the Zohar says, is chas v'shalom, impossible. Elekish shenasa nisgaira. And however, the Zohar adds one additional expression, which is going to be crucial for tonight's shiur. Ubecheskas emas bala umda. During the time she was married to a husband, both she, Rus, and Arpa were very meticulous in all the Torah v'mitzvahs. They were mekabel at the time of the geris before they got married. They were very careful that their husband should not see any type of indication whatsoever that they were not mekayim sincerely Torah v'mitzvahs. The expression is emas bala umda. They were under the fear, because if they saw, if Machlon and Kilion would have seen that their wives were playing a game with them, and it was a shekedika type of geirus, and they didn't mean what they say, and they didn't say what they meant, and the whole thing was a charade. They would not have maintained them as wives. They would have said, "You're shiksis. You don't want to marry you. There's no chalos kedushin," and the whole thing would have been over. Since they realized the ramifications of not observing Torah and mitzvahs, it was the emas balam aleihem, the fear of their balam having any type of emotional or halachic feeling that the wives were not sincere in the geirus. They were meticulous in their shmira Torah and mitzvahs. However, that's as long as the husbands were alive. As soon as the husbands died, there's no longer emes ba'alam aleihem. So what does the Zohar say? Kemesh emesu ba'alayim, apa chazra l'sarchayna, apa shoshal had true colors and went back to her non-Jewish state, lock, stock, and barrel. Rus amda betama, Rus maintained her geirah status as a full-fledged giyares kahalacha. Dixivine shavi yivimtech el ama ve'el aheha, v'rus dav kabah, k'mo shahayisa betchila. So we see over here, according to the Zohar, that this Zohar therefore gives a different storyline than you see in the Medrash Shabbat B'Shem Rav Meir. And that is, they underwent giyares kahalacha, and they were full-fledged. Later on, Arpa had a change of heart and went back, and Ruth maintained a gear from 10 years earlier. But now comes the million-dollar question. By using the Zohar's interpretation, I take away the million-dollar question against Rav Meir's Pshat in the Medrash of how two Jewish boys from this Yichus can marry two non-Jewish women, because according to the Zohar's Pshat, they did undergo gear kahalacha. And there was Kabbalah Smitzah, Samach Shemaim, and there was Tila B'mikvah, and everything had to be done. And there must have been what's called a roving Bezdin that went from place to place to take care of the needs of Klaus on their far flung places where they lived. The Gemara calls such a Bezdin Shel Hedyaitis, which the Gemara gives you a comment. They're not the most brilliant, genius, you know, meticulous Bezdin you have on the face of this earth. They are surely not sent by the Bezdin HaGadol to be the Shluchim, the Bezdin HaGadol, but there was a Bezdin, Shel Hadyotos, that had to be behind the scenes doing all that had to be done, or else the Geirus is Nachal. That's Halacha Lamasa. Without a Bezdin, you cannot have Geir Kehalacha. Even by the Bris Mila, you should know. When we do a Bris Mila for a child, or for that matter, for an adult, be Megayer, there has to be the presence of a bezin of three men, three adults, witnessing this event, the same way there has to be a bezin witnessing Kabbalas Amitzas or Machu Shemayim, and the same bezin watching the gear kalacha when it comes to tefillah b'mikvah. You have to have a bezin involved, the Rama says, in all of these processes. So quite obviously, once again, the million-dollar question is the following. If in fact they went through gear kahalacha, now the focus of the problem is not what Machlon and Kilion did, or Rus ve'Arpar, but what in the world did Naomi do? Where do you ever find halacha l'masa that once a ger becomes a ger, that a Jew later on, if their husbands die, go to the daughter-in-laws and say to the daughter-in-laws, Mebuch, your Jewish husband, that you were Megaya to marry, he's no longer here. Best idea for you is leave your Yiddishkeit, leave your Torah, leave your mitzvahs, leave your Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and go back to your God, go back to your Avodah Zarah, go back to your Gayishla. Where do you find such a thing like that? On the contrary,
you are listening to Ben's Torah.
Unless
one Markham
you have in these Makaris, there is a pasuk in the Torah, V'ahavtem es hager, which the Midrash Tanchuma says, above the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'recha kamach, we have for every other Jew and Jewess. By gerim, it says a couple of times in the Torah, ahavtim as a ger. You have to go above and beyond to mekara them, to make them feel that they're really part of Klal Yisrael and accept as full-fledged members. How in the world? That's the big question tonight. Naomi is pushing them away and telling them to go away from what you were mekabel and get away from your Yiddishkeit and go back and basically become a guy again. Halach l'masa, you should know. And the Rambam passes this. If a person's megayir kahalacha, and they meant it sincerely, Once it was meant and mekubal sincerely, if a week or 2 weeks or a month later have a change of heart, tough luck. Once you were megayer, you cannot usurp that geiris kahalacha. You can't take it away. You can't destroy it. So that makes the question even more difficult. She's taking now a Jewish girl and pushing her away, where the geiris cannot be revoked, and telling her, lefnei iver, you got a choice now, go back to your avodah zarah, go back to your treifis, go back to the McDonald's, and go back to all the chazarai, and go back to your whole life as a shiksa. I mean, it doesn't make sense, Rabbi Say. Nami wouldn't do a thing like that. So what, according to the Zohar, what happened over here? So in the world of brisk, Kedakim, the Kedish, brisk always comes to the rescue over here. So they point out that the only way to understand this Zohar is based upon a Gemara text, in Masechtes Yevamos, Daf Chav Dalet Beis. I have it over here in the thing, but I'm not going to go through with you. I'm just going to show you where it is if you want to take the Marmar Kamos later on and go through Barichus. But in Masechtes Yevamos, you find a Chav Dalet Beis, which is on page number 6 of the Marmar Kamos, a whole sugya about a person who, quite obviously speaking, had a relationship with a non-Jewess, and she converted to Judaism later on. And even though the Mishnah says we should not accept such a geiris initially, but if she accepts Torah of the Mitzvahs, we accept the geiris b'dievet. And the Gemara introduces the concept of a person who's mekayim geiris l'shem shemayim v'dav acher. There are multiple kavanas you have why you want to become a geiris. But obviously, if it's a geirish, a girl wanting to marry a Jewish boy, and she realizes the Jewish boy's family says, we're not going to allow you to marry a non-Jewish girl, we want her to become a Jewish girl and show commitment before we let you marry. So he goes to his Gayesha girlfriend and says to her, I ain't going to be able to marry you unless you convert. Oh, that's what it is. No big deal. I'll convert. You might, I can just give you statistics. How many people do that today around the world? And therefore, that's called I'm being megayer for the dava acher, because I want to marry this Jewish boy, but I'm a kabo amitzis, I'm doing it with shem shemayim. So the question is, if I have multiple kavanah, shem shemayim with dava acher, is that geiris chal? And the Gemara in Yevamos over there brings two deos. One day that says shem shemayim with dava acher, one cancels out the other, and it's a non-starter. We passing like the Manda Omar, L'shem Shemayim V'dava Acher is kasha b'di evit for gear kahalacha, but we don't usually accept this lechatchila. So the fact of the matter is that it's a beferish gemara in Masechtas Yevamos. Now, what does it mean? Shem Shemayim V'dava Acher, we accept b'di evit. It means that if we are convinced that even though there was a shalol l'shem Shemayim reason, she wanted to come to Yiddishkeit initially, but after she learned about all that has to be done, she basically said, I'm going to do it all lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to be meticulous. So not only was there an initial draw because of Shalom L'Shem Shemayim Dov Acher, but later on she was drawn because she saw the light and she felt she wanted to be a Jew independent of the marriage of this Jewish boy. B'di'evit, we will allow it to work. But according to the Ramban, according to the Torah, it's based upon an umdana. What's the umdana? The umdana is, as we tell this potential giyaris or ger, whether it's a male or female, we tell them, I want you to know one thing, that if it's 50% l'shem shemayim and 50% l'shem dova acher, this geiris ain't going to be. You have to now make up your mind, are you being a kabbal geiris, totally l'shem shemayim, for 100% purpose l'shem shemayim, even though initially you were drawn closer for dava acher, but now you're being told that if in fact you are not really totally sincere, and the one at least 50% of the motivation is for other reasons which have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, your kabbalah's geiris, even b'dever, won't be chal. So Chazal say, if you feel the ger and the yaris have been told, are they makabel 100%, and the davach has to be pushed in the backdrop, but you're now doing it 100% exclusively l'shem shemayim. If you can come to such a momentum that this Garen Yoris felt that way, have a change of heart and mind, and they're doing it only for that reason, so therefore we accept Sheshmayim Davacha B'dieved as a final recourse. But if you feel that at the end of the day, Shem Shemayim V'dava Acher, that the person with a female potential Ger candidate, at the end did not 100% accept Geris L'Shem Geris, but the good reason of why they're doing this is only one reason, L'Shem Ishus L'Shem Marriage, but they'll say all the right things in order to, for Bezin to hear that the dialogue went the way it is. Oh yeah, 100% I'm doing it L'Shem Shemayim, but in their heart and their mind, it's not 100% L'Shem Shemayim. Without that guy or that gal over there who are Jewish, I wouldn't have stepped over this specific Bezdin's doorway to go in to undergo Gir Kalacha. That if Bezdin feels that the whole thing is a facade, is a baloney story, and she or he doesn't mean it, even B'diyeb we pass in Shem Shemayim Dovacha doesn't work. And that is the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch learns this unique chiddush of the B'diyevet of the Gemara in Yevamos. Now, I'm going to tell you a chiddush, b'shem one of the Gedol Hadar of the early 1900s, which is crucial for tonight's shir. The famous Baal Achiezer, Chaim Ozer Grzinski, says, in his analysis of this sugya, he asks a simple question. He says, I want to understand the mechanics, Shem Shemayim V'dava Acher, and Bezin has to be convinced 100% of Shem Shemayim, etc. So I have a simple question to pose. The whole thing has to be orchestrated, he says, in front of a Bezin. Now, in the world of Batei Dinim, Chayshin Mishpat, most of the activity is Bezin have to, nothing to do with Geiris. Most of it has to do with adjudication of Chayshin Mishpat. When it comes to contractual law, we paskin ein ledayin ala masha'inov roos vaznaim shamos. When a dayan has to adjudicate a case, a monetary case, or in this case make a contractual agreement between parties, dayanim can only paskin based upon what they hear and see. If one of the parties to a deal, let's say a real estate deal, later on says to the dayanim, when we drew up the contract, I know what we wrote on the paper, but I had in my mind another phenomenal Tanai stipulation, but I didn't mention it, but in my mind and heart, that was part of my decision. So we turn to that gentleman or that lady, whoever it is, and say, with all due respect, we have a principle in halacha, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. What goes on in your mind and heart when it comes to relationships of Ben Adam and Chavero, when it comes to contractual agreements or other agreements, what you say and what you write is what we paskin upon. We can't look into your heart and soul and take that in consideration when it comes to monetary deals between human beings. So therefore, that tonight in your heart, which you never stipulated, never wrote, is halachically irrelevant, nothing to talk about. So says Rachai Moizer, that is when it comes to normal chayshe mishpat halacha is ben adam lechavera. When it comes to gira kahalacha, says Reb Chaim, that is a ben adam lemakom. It's between you and God. When you're makabel ol mitzvos and ol machos shemayim, God sees whether you mean it or you don't mean it. Rachmana is bochein kloyes v'lev is the expression the Gemara uses. The Rebbe Hashem sees into the heart and mind of the person who's making these declarations. And if God sees in the heart and mind of the person making the declarations that they're saying what they don't mean and they don't mean what they say, then there's nothing to talk about. The commitments you're making, even though orally you have made no hesitation or any tanoim that you're not going to do, but you say, I'm going to do everything, if you were not sincere in what you said, and Kalapi Kadosh Baruch Hu, he sees it as well. You can say the entire nusach that's taught to you to say with all the questions asked properly, but if you don't mean it, the halach is dvarim shebelev havi dvarim, and the geirus itself is halachically defective. Says Rechaim Oza in his tshuva that a Beis Din has a right, if they're suspicious in Geirus candidates, that there might be hanky-panky over here, and that the Geir candidate, male or female, really are not sincere, but they're trying to bluff the Beis Din and they're saying things, but in their heart and mind and their ultimate machshava, once I get this whole process over with and I get my Geir's document, I'm going back to Hillel Shabbos, I'm going back to my McDonald's, I'm going back to all of my Geir's shtick. If that's what they thought in their mind, or even though they didn't articulate it, Beis Din has a right to megayer them al pi tanai and make the following declaration. We hear that you're makabel, but we have a suspicion that you have to prove to us is incorrect, that what you're saying with your mouth and telling us is not really what's in your heart and mind. So this is called a gir al pi hatanai. And that is, if later on you demonstrate to us that at the end your Shem Shemayim Adav Acher was cool Shem Shemayim by total observance of the Torah of the mitzvahs, that will be a chalos of the Geris Lamafreya, that it was 100% valid, nothing more to talk about. But if later on we're able to have evidence and proof that your Gira Kahalacha was not Kahalacha, and the Dvar Mishabalev, which there's an Umdu Namuchach, to us is of suspicion, and later on you prove that our Umdu Namuchach, that you were not sincere, is demonstrated by a month, two, three later on, you're no longer being careful in your Bechal Shabbos and eating Revelas and Treifas and the Ganze Geschichte, then the Gir Kalach is Mufkal Amafreya. It's as if you never converted, you're still a Shegis or a Shiksa, nothing more to talk about. So a Beis Din, if they have that concern, since it's been Adam Lamakam, Rachman Alibabai, they can tell you, we're going to do this Geres with an Umdu Namuchach of suspicion and concern. And therefore, we always have a right to revoke it. We feel later on it was insincere. This is what Rechaim Isaac Rosinsky explains as a basic yisod of gir kahalacha. Now, with that in mind, we now come back to this sugya over here. When Naomi herself saw these girls, halacha lamasa, remember, Moabite princesses who had oishev v'kavod, every reason to believe they would be queens one day, they would have the best and the finest that Moabite Empire is able to offer them. They were, you know, there was nothing they were missing, nothing they expected to miss in the future. When they decided they wanted to undergo Gir Kahalacha and marry two nice, rich, aristocratic Jewish boys, after all, doesn't everybody want to have their daughter marry a Jewish boy? I mean, it's a very popular thing today, starting from the top of our country all the way down, everybody's marrying Jewish boys. I mean, the past president's daughter married a Jewish boy, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And the current president's marrying a Jewish boy. Everybody's marrying a Jewish boy. Everybody likes a nice Jewish boy. So the question is, halacha l'masa? What?
They don't beat their wives.
Yeah, that could also be. Well, the more sincere, more eloquent when it comes to it. So the fact of the matter is, the question that's therefore posed is therefore, what was Naomi concerned about? She saw, according to the Zohar's Pshat, that these daughter-in-laws were Maguya through a Beis Din. Beis Din asked them the questions, they answered the questions properly. And as the Zohar gives Eidus, during the 10 years of marriage of Bachlan and Kilion to Rus and to Arpa, the cheskas emes balem aleihem, they were meticulous as possible you could be. In Shmir's Torah of Mitzvahs, there was no indication whatsoever that it wasn't cool l'shem shemayim when it came to their ultimate geiris. But Naomi, we're going to learn now, according to the Briska, was a tremendous tamid chachama. She was a lamdonis. And after the husband died, she now wanted to see, with a little bechina and a little pressure, what they were doing up until now was a kulul Hashem Shemayim or was a dava acher, and maybe because of, if the husbands would have felt it's dava acher, they wouldn't stay married to them. She couldn't make the bechina when the husbands were still alive. But now that the husbands were dead, and she no longer had any new husbands to offer them, which means they would end up being basically a gunas the rest of their life, and she could really lay it on and paint a portrait of total, total desolation for these girls, no future in the Jewish community, she wanted now to test in retrospect, was it L'Shem Shemayim V'Dav Ach and ended up being cool L'Shem Shemayim, or was the Dav Ach the real motivation? Because, as I pointed out to you, that when there is an Umdun the Muchich, the Bezdin that was Megayah them initially, said to Naomi, we're going to do this for you, but it's very suspicious that Moabite princesses are willing to marry Jewish boys and give up everything they have for the sake of Yiddishkeit. So we're going to be Megayer, but I'll deny that they live as Jewesses and you have no seeing of Charat on their part, because if you have any indication during the time of marriage or maybe post-marriage that there's Charat on their part, since we had Umdu Nemuchat that the shame, Dava Achim, might have been the ultimate motivation, nice, rich, Jewish boys, aristocrats, the whole Geris is Mufkul and Mafreya, and it was never Chal, following within the Lumdas that I explained to you, B'Shem, Rav Chaim Oze Grzinski. Naomi therefore felt at this point in time, if she's going to take these girls back to Eretz Israel, and she's going to present them to her Mishpacha member Boaz, who was the head of the Sanhedrin Hagadol, the Bati Dinim at that time were very suspicious about Girat Halacha B'chlal. There were many periods in Jewish history, we have recorded in the Gemara, that they were not Makabel Gerim because they felt the Gerim were doing it for ulterior motives. The Rambam, in fact, quotes four ulterior motives every Gerim and Geras have to be checked for before you Makayim the Geras. You have to make sure it's not L'Shem Ishus. You have to make sure it's not L'Shem Mammon. You have to make sure it's not L'Shem Srara, they're going to get some type of special job. You have to make sure it's not L'Shem Pachad, they're fearful of the Jews, as you had by Purim. Habi goyim b'siyahadim, as the Megillah says, because of the fear of the Jews, what happened when it came to the Napachu. Bezdin has to check that out. And we assume that Bezdin did check it out when Machlon and Achillion married these girls. But Naomi and the Bezdin were suspicious that they knew the right answers, but maybe it was still a facade. So Naomi felt that in order for her to bring these girls back and have their Geras validated by Boaz and the Sanhedrin Agadol, to give these girls a chance to be looked upon as Jewesses and be able to marry Jewish husbands, she had to once and for all show in retrospect it was Kulu L'Shem Shemayim, it wasn't L'Shem Dov Acher, before she presents them and brings them back with her. Otherwise, the whole process is futile and total counterproductive. That's why she did something out of character. She started pushing her daughter-in-laws and telling them, go back, go back, go back to your God, to your people, to everything else, etc., etc. What? I made the bracha before. You can make a bracha now if you want, no problem. So halacha l'mayim. We might have the kolos of racham and matan Torah also. So we have a backdrop now, besides everything else. So the fact of the matter is, according to Chazal, what Naomi did is ask the questions again and try to push them away to see now that the Dav Ach is no longer there, the boys ain't there, and there's no hope for future husbands for them as she portrayed. Do you girls still want to stay by the Geras you are Megayer? If you ask my humble opinion, if you're really not dedicated and sincere to it, we'll just take away your Yiddishkeit, we'll usurp your Geras L'Mafreya, go back to your God, go back to your people. According to Halacha, Naomi's not doing a terrible thing now, because if it's a gear, Apitanai, you're able to mafkia if you're suspicious of hanky-panky. So she wasn't violating Halacha or pushing them away. She wanted to test to see the sincerity, was a cool Hashem, Shemayim and Aludav Acher, before she allowed them to go back with her to Beis Lechem Yehuda. Arpa showed her true roots, as the Zohar says, and she showed that was cool L'Shem Davach and L'Shem Shemayim. She had no problem going back to her God, going back to her people. In fact, she was the mother of Golias later on, Chazal say. There's a certain irony over here. So the fact of the matter is she went back. Rus Dov Kabar, which means Rus basically said, I'm not going to leave your side. I was Megarek Halacha, I did L'Shem Shemayim. I might not have a husband, I might not have a husband in the future, I might be in a guna the rest of my life, I don't care, your people are my people, where you're going to go, I'm going to go, Shabbos, Taras Mishpacha, Kashrus, whatever you do, I'm going to do as well. I was Makabal, I met the Kul Hashem Shemayim. So she was able to validate Rus's giyur kahalacha was 100% l'shem shemayim, and Arpa's giyur was kula l'shem davar acher, and it was usurped l'mafreya. That's exactly what Naomi did, according to the briskis, in interpreting what the whole dialogue over here was about after the husbands died. Now, looking at my watch, to demonstrate halacha l'masa, that Naomi, not only did she succeed, but she succeeded on an incredible level, proving how emistic Rus was in Hagir Kahalacha Kula Shem Shemayim. I want you to turn back now to page number 1, and I want to show you, and we'll end with this, a little dialogue that Boaz had with Rus when she started collecting food in Boaz's fields. If you look in column D, which is the last column on the left-hand side, it says of him, I'm going to skip a couple of psukim to get to the real nitty-gritty over here. Over here, basically, if you look in pasuk number Ches, Vayomer Boaz LaRus, Halo Shemat Biti, Al Teichi Lilkol Pistei Acher, I don't want you to collect food in any other field, you collect over here, Tavur Mizeh, Kosid Bakum, Imnarosai, etc., etc. He then said to the boys who were other people who were collecting food in the field, stay away from this young lady, Cheperhanish, don't bother her. But then the real narrative that's crucial is Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph over here, and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. Look what it says. Vatipal al Paneha. When she saw the warmth exuding from Boaz, what happened? She fell on her face. Vatishtach l'artza, and she bowed down to him. Vatome lov, madu matzasi chayim b'enech l'akireini. You're so makabal me, and you're giving me such recognition and such kavod. V'anochi nochriya, I'm a stranger. Now, I want to point out something to you. Nochriya can mean a stranger. Nochriya can mean a chpineshiksa. So what she was saying to Boaz, are you makabal me as a full-fledged Jewess? I mean, you're telling me I can collect in the fields. We're talking about now she'alecha shechapei and everything else. Very nice. Do you consider me a Jewess or not? Am I not a Nochri according to the strict rules and regulations of the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe my geiris has no validity. And when she says Nochriya, not only am I a stranger, but ich bin a gayata. What does he answer? Vayan Boaz vayomola, hu gad li, kol asha osis es chamaseich. It's already been told over to me, all that you did with your mother-in-law, achare mos isheich, after your husband died, vatazvi ovich v'imeich, you even forsook your father and mother, Eres Moladek, the place you were born, your nativity of Moab, Valtelchi Ama Shalo Yadata to Moshel Shom, and you joined a nation you weren't even aware of their ancient history and all of its illustrious accomplishments. Therefore, I give you the following bracha. Yishalem Hashem Palech, Usihi Marzkurtech Shlema Im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Bos Lachsois, Tachas Kenafa. What you have over here, think about it, is the head of the Sanhedrin HaGadol telling her, in my eyes you're a full-fledged Giyores, Lehalacha, Kulu L'Shem Shemayim, and giving a bracha that you should basically be able to flourish under the Kanfei Hashchina. But the briskis point out, if you look very carefully in what he said to her, and why he said what he said, you find all four ulterior motives the Rambam says the Beis HaMikdash checks for, checked off, that it doesn't apply to Rus. How? Your husband died and there are no longer any men ever offered to you. You didn't do it l'shem ishus. Okay? When it comes to money, v'kavod, and sarara k'daymer, if you forsook your rich mother and father who are part of the royalty of the Moabites, and forsook Moab, you basically showed you didn't care about sarara, you didn't care about money, you didn't care about yichus. So those questions are eliminated. And when it came to Klal Yisrael, if I gave you a history lesson of all the glory of Israel and all that happened to them over the centuries, you would know because you weren't taught that. There was no fear. The Jews were not threatening Moavim at that time. So it wasn't even L'shem Pachad. So all the four reasons you check for ulterior motives, he basically delineated to her, you have demonstrated all the four ulterior motives we check for did not apply to you. Which means you are kulo L'shem Shemayim. And if that's the case, you are a full-fledged Giyaris being accepted by us, the head of the Beis Din HaGadol. And to prove what he said he meant, when it came down to the bottom line of having to marry her, and saying to Ploni Valmoni, you have the right to marry her and be goel first. And what did Ploni Valmoni say? What, are you crazy? Later on they're going to say, I married a Moabite princess over here, and she was a Megayer, and my kids Yichus, and the whole Jewish future, my grandchildren at stake. I'm not going to do that. Despite what Ploni Valmoni said, so Boaz said, well, if you don't want to, I'll do it. Why wasn't Boaz concerned about his Yichus, his children, his Einiklach? The reason is because, as he said over here, I'm convinced based upon what I heard, what you did, and the questions and answers, and your behavior, and what you said to Naomi in the Beis Din, I'm convinced with everything that I see and hear about you, you're cool L'shem Shemayim, which means if that's the case, there'll be nothing wrong with the children that we beget together if I marry you, and they will be right to whatever covet and Eisher in the future they're entitled to. At the end of the day, Malchus Beis David was created through this specific union. And ironically, I want to point out something quite interesting. The anti-David group, which the Gemara in Yevamos and other places talks about a great deal in Shas, that were challenging David being chosen as the Melech and tining that he's not Roy for Malchus. If you look in those Gemaras, I'm going to end with this, an interesting Ha'ara. They never questioned Rus's gir kahalacha when it comes to Hafrumkeit, L'shem Shemayim. What did they want to taina? Moavi and Moavit are both prohibited. Not only you can't be Megai a male, but even a female. That's how they wanted to apostle out to David HaMelech. They didn't say because she's not frum and she was not makabel the Torah mitzvahs and she did shalal l'shem shemayim. It was that they were trying to push, and ultimately the Nevi'im had to come across with the Kabbalim and Hashemayim to tell them that this is not based upon Bubba Mind says Mogel Love is not something like drush yugamimidais. It's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and Moshe said at Sinai when he taught the pasuk l'yavu movi movi amoni. Males, yes, are prohibited from Geirus. Females are totally permissible. Therefore, if that's your taina against David, it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai connected you. The validation of David HaMelech when it comes to the marriage, his yichus, his birth, was validated. But the Geirus of Rus shows you what a gir kalach has to be on the ultimate level. It shouldn't have any other ulterior motive. Kula l'shem Shemayim with Mesiras Nefesh. That's why we read it on the Yom Tov Rabbi Sai of Shavuos, to show you what a Giyaris Tzedek is, and where Malchus Beis David came from. That's the reason we read it. The Zohar gives us incredible substance, and explains also, never be choshed machlon v'kiyon were killed because of marrying shiksas. They were Jewish girls who converted. One's Geiris was usurped l'mafreilo and was maintained. And the Gemara says at the end, for those who claim that they did marry girls who were converted, so why did they die? Some said because of forsaking Eretz Yisrael, forsaking Klal Yisrael. That was the Chilul Hashem that caused it, not the marrying of these girls.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.